You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, August 1st. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Hard as a Rock or Bright as a Candle.
It's a blessing, amen. You can say amen. It's okay to say amen in church. Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you, ladies. And we've been praying for Penny. Penny was down sick this morning, as several others were. And we were checking on her last night and again today. One of course, our great young people at the college there. And we were praying for her. And I'm glad that she's feeling better. Take your Bible, go back and go to Jeremiah chapter 23. Look at verse 29 again. And I want us to re-emphasize that verse, though it was read just a moment ago. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, the Bible says, is not my word like a fire? And by the way, he's talking about his word, the word of God. The Bible says, saith the Lord, and it says here, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And may we pray one more time. Now, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege to be able to open the Bible. Lord, thank you for working in hearts this morning and changing lives. And Father, I pray, please, that you'll help us tonight as we open the Word of God and we learn. I pray that you'll show us a truth tonight that will change us forever. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible talks here about that which is a rock. And then you'll see later on, we're going to examine that which is a fire, if you will. And so let's talk about that tonight, which is the attributes of a rock. I want to speak tonight on hard as a rock or bright as a candle. Hard as a rock or bright as a candle. You know, those two are very opposite. A candle is something normally that's soft and it can be penetrated by even that which is maybe somebody taking a pen and hitting down, or maybe just a knife and hitting down, or a fork or the end of a spoon and hitting it. And you can penetrate that which is a candle very, very easily. But you can't do that with a rock. I don't know if you've ever been rock climbing where you scale the side of a cliff, you know, and if you lose your footing and all of a sudden your foot begins to slip and it begins to hit that which is the front of your calf, it hurts, it doesn't give. I don't know if you've ever done this. I don't know if you've ever been horseback riding or you tried to break a horse and that horse bucks you off, and it's different to land in the dirt than it is on the rocks. I don't know if you've ever done this. I don't know if you've been running across a stream one day. Maybe you were out fishing in a stream and you decided that, well, I think that I can run across the stream. And so you begin to take off running across the stream and you hit one of those rocks that's been there for some time and it has the algae over it, which makes it very slippery. And you slip off and you fall down and you hit your kneecap on another rock that's in the same stream. You know, normally that's painful. I don't know if you've ever done this. As a young man, I know that I did this when I was a young man. We decided that we were going to have a dirt ball fight. And so I've got three brothers, and they had their forts, and I had my fort. And so they had their friends and their fort, and I had my friends and my fort. And there was about 15 or 20 of us, and we had a dirt ball fight. Now, I remember my brother, Dave, he threw a dirt ball, but it had a rock in it. And boy, when that rock hit the side of my arm, it tore it up, and blood started pouring out, and that was not a good day coming in contact with a rock. Did you know that our hearts doesn't need to be like a rock? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, the Bible says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Now, how can you tell if somebody hardens their heart? How is it that some people come to church? And by the way, we ought never to harden our hearts when it comes to that which is the truth of the Word of God. But yet, sometimes people would come to church, and the attributes of a rock is this: it's hard. It's hard. And you can tell when somebody has a hard heart. How can you tell when somebody has a hard heart? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 29, the Bible says, a wicked man hardeneth his face. And so how can you tell when a person has a hard heart? You see it on the face. Have you ever tried to instruct somebody of that which is truth, and you can see immediately they're not taking it well? Have you ever tried to give somebody instruction about what they're supposed to do, and they got this nonchalant look on their face, and you can see you're not penetrating the heart? Why? Because it's very evident on the face. Have you ever, as a preacher, got up behind the pulpit and you started preaching the word of God, and as you preach the word of God, you can look over the congregation and you can tell who's receiving it well, who is puzzled about it, who has questions about it, and who doesn't believe it. You can always tell. Why? Because what's in the heart comes out. And normally what's in the heart comes out through the face. I mean, you can see. Have you ever corrected your child and you could tell that it did not go well? Have you ever had an argument with your wife and you found out even though you won the battle, you lost the war? Has there ever been a time in your life when the boss has told you to do something and you didn't want to do it, and he knew you didn't want to do it by the expression on your face? You see, the Bible talks about right here how that person that has a hard heart, how's it revealed? It's revealed on the face. You can tell. Man, I can tell when I preach a certain message, going down a certain path, I can tell who likes it, who doesn't like it, who's on board, who's not on board, who's excited, who's thrilled about it, who it bothers. I can tell just by shaking hands who liked it. Man, after church, my wife and I always go to the vestibule area. We're out there for a reason. We want to shake people's hands. We want to be friendly. We want to love people. But did you know, I've had people in this church, you won't believe it, but I've had people in this church, when I nail certain things, that they stick their nose up at me. They walk out through the vestibule area and they snub me. Can you believe that? I'm talking about in church. Hey, wait a minute. Did you know? Listen, you can always tell when somebody doesn't like. Look, if I was in church tonight and I didn't like what the Bible was saying and I didn't like what that preacher was preaching and my heart was hard, I wouldn't let anybody know. I'd paint a smile on my face. Yeah, I'd do it. I'd just sit there whole time preacher's preaching. A preacher's nailing my hide. I'd be sitting there. Yeah, I'd enjoy it. Well, I wouldn't enjoy it, but I pretend I'd enjoy it. All right? Now, wait a minute. Here's what we see. We see that there are those that have a heart, and the Bible talks about that person that has that heart is hard. I don't know if you've ever done this as a young person. It's not really a smart thing to do, but have you ever had the knuckle bashing contest? Have you ever done that as a young man? All the girls are shaking their head, no way. But that's a boy thing, all right? And you ball up your fist and you say, boy, I tell you what, you're going to give in quicker than I'm going to give in. And so you go first because you're going to lose anyway. And so you ball up your fist and you hold it in a certain gesture, and the person balls up their fist and they rear back, and you just hope that they have a good aim. Don't miss the hand and hit the face. But you hold up the fist and boy, they rear back and they give it everything they've got and they hit that fist and you stand there and in your heart you are dying. I mean, you know you're about ready to, oh, men don't cry, but you know that you're about ready to cry anyway. And so now you look at them and you say, ha ha, you started it, I'll finish it. My turn. You know, and then you rear back with the same fist. I mean, how smart are we? That's called double pain. But did you know that's exactly what happens when we go against God's word? The Holy Ghost of God begins to hit us with a truth, and you say, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to surrender. You go ahead, God, hit me again. That doesn't make any sense. Why is it that a person would bow up against a holy God and say, look, I just want you to know I'm going to harden my heart because I'm bigger than you are and I'm stronger than you are and I'm wiser than you are. Hey, listen, you're not bigger, you're not stronger, and you're not wiser than the creator of the universe. It is better to give up and to give in than to keep a hard heart. It's better to surrender than not to surrender. I'm telling you tonight, when a person has a hard heart, it's revealed on the face. You know why people do diversions in church? Let me tell you why. They don't want to hear what God's saying. Now, to me, I always wonder, why do you come to church if you don't want to hear what God is saying? I mean, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it is better to come to church than not to come to church. Come on, it's better to be in a place where you at least give God a chance than not to give God a chance at all. You say, well, preacher, where should I be if I have a hard heart in church? You say, but I don't feel like being here. When you don't feel like being here, that's the time you need to be here more. But you say, preacher, you don't understand. When I come to church and God begins to speak to my heart, I want to run from it. You shouldn't want to run from it. You should want to run to it. You ought to decide tonight that when God begins to hit on your heart and God begins to show you great truth, you ought to decide, I'm not going to harden my heart. Hey, when you harden the heart, it's always revealed on the face. Have you ever told somebody something they didn't want to do? Have you ever told somebody something they disagreed with? I mean, come on, you can tell. Comes out all over the face. Have you ever told somebody and they disagreed with you so much they got mad? I mean, you know, you're walking up and they've got that generality type of look, that melancholy disposition. And all of a sudden you walk up and you tell them to do something and their whole disposition changes. I mean, it goes from being melancholy, it goes from being somebody that's kind of floating along, walking on jello, to all of a sudden they get stiff. All of a sudden they get that mean look on their face. And all of a sudden it looks like you're telling me what? That lip begins to curl. Hey, what is that? That's evidence of a hard heart. Come on, when God speaks to our heart, we ought to decide that we're going to surrender, do what God wants us to do. Hey, when God starts knocking on the heart, we ought not to decide. Hey, why is it that the homosexuals are walking the streets and they're saying, boy, we need our rights? Because they're not ashamed of their sin. There's a hardness of the heart. Why is it that people get on the radio and they get on the television and they blaspheme the name of a holy God? I'll tell you why. They're not ashamed of their sin. They've got a hard heart. Why is it that people are out to destroy young people and to take their purity and hurt them in an ill fashion? Why is that? Because they're not ashamed of what they're doing. Why aren't they ashamed, preacher? Because there's that hard heart. I'm saying tonight, you and I have to decide we're not going to have a hard heart. But when we do have a hard heart, it's always revealed on the face. Statement number two, think about this. It's always revealed in the neck. You know, the face is something you see. The neck, if you will, in the Bible sets a definition. Here's a Bible term, if you will, that we need to understand. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 29 in verse 1, the Bible says, he being often, listen to it, reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. So God says a person that's always hardening their neck, God said, here's the end result of that. They're going to be reproved, but they're going to be reproved in such a way that there's going to be a destruction that comes without remedy. That means there is no solution. You know, God will put up with only so much. Now, I realize we're living in a culture in Western civilization where we say everything is gray, nothing is black, nothing is white. I mean, we're trying to please everybody with their political statements, and it has to be politically correct. But I'm telling you, God's not concerned about political rightness or political correctness. What God's concerned about is when the heart is hard. He says, I'm not concerned about what they say in Washington, D.C. And by the way, did it ever occur to you that God is bigger than Washington, D.C.? Amen. Did it ever occur to you that God owns more than just the United States of America? So I'm not going to say, well, I can't do this because after all, somebody has a little bit of political clout says I can't do it. Hey, I've got somebody that's in my life that's got more than just political clout. He owns everything that's in the world, owns the world too. If it comes answering to somebody that's going to be answering to somebody right. I'd rather answer to God right than to man wrong. I'd rather put God in the right light. I'd rather decide that God is the one I give allegiance to, and God is the one that can help, and God is the one that can reprove, and God is the one that can justly give that which is right. Oh, listen to it tonight. There's that which is a hard heart. That hard heart is revealed on a hard face. But that hard face, if it's not correct, you know, a hard face is easily corrected. Come on. You know, ladies can turn on emotion and turn off emotion very quickly. They can be happy 1 minute. Mrs. Cavanaugh scares me. I came to that which was the ladies' banquet. And I thought I had her pegged. I mean, I thought I knew her. And all of a sudden she comes out that night playing three different roles. So the next day when she came into the office, I said, okay, who are you? I mean, I want to make sure I respond right to this. So who are you? But you know, that was role playing, and she is a great lady, and her husband helps her to be a great lady. Never mind. Okay. But did you know tonight? Do we understand tonight that was role playing, and you're not supposed to role play with God? But so many times we do that. Because we don't let God speak to our hearts. We role play. Come on. God begins to speak to the heart, and we go out of here the same way we left. We are not ever supposed to go out of here the same way that we came in. We're supposed to go out different. Man, when you come to church and church is not alive, and you come to church and God is not speaking, and it's not the word of God that changes, and it's not the volume of the preacher that changes, and the attributes of delivery is not something that changes, and it is still the same. But you've got a God that wants you to go out, and he wants you to go out a whole lot different. How can you tell when things are beginning to harden in the heart? All of a sudden we stop making those decisions. We put the brakes on. You're not supposed to put the brakes on. Let's be surrendered. Let's be on fire. Let's set a fire for Jesus Christ. Let's go forward. Let's accomplish something great for God. Oh, watch it. There's that which is the hard heart. The hard heart is revealed on a hard face, but listen to it. What about that hard heart? How is it described? How is the hard neck described? The Bible says often reproved, hardened his neck, and suddenly the Bible says be destroyed without remedy. So there's correction that comes to the hard heart. God keeps knocking. He's waiting for you to answer. But the more you turn him off doesn't mean the more he's going to be turned off. Because God is a God of long suffering. God is a God that though you turn your back on him, he never turns his back on you. God is the one, are you listening to me? It says, I'm just going to keep knocking, and I'm going to keep knocking, and I'm going to keep knocking, and I'm going to keep knocking. Now, maybe you can't hear it because the heart's getting harder, but I got news for you. He's still knocking, and that's how come. Listen, you're sitting. Have you ever seen this in a congregation about this size? Some people move closer to God. Some people stay the same with God, and some people move farther away from God, even though they're in the same place, hearing the same preaching, hearing the same demonstration, and seeing the same Holy Ghost that's working, and they see the Holy Ghost working in other people's heart, and then they sit there and they wonder, why is God not doing that with me? It might be because of the heart. Come on, listen to it. How do you know if there's a hard heart? There's the hardening of the neck. That's direction. That's purpose. That's drive. You can tell if a person has a hard heart by the direction that they're going. A person that has a stiff neck, you know what that means? That means it's hard to turn. Have you ever done this? Have you ever slept the wrong way in bed? And you wake up the next morning with a creak. I don't know how you say it down here, but a creak in your neck. Crick. You say crick. God bless us all. But you have a pain in your neck. Have you ever done that? You know, the older I get, seems like you can't just find a comfortable way to sleep. I mean, you turn this way, and it doesn't work. You turn this way, and you know, somebody says, well, preacher, you need to exercise. I do every night when I go to bed. Man, you know, you turn this way, and you turn this way, and you turn this way, and you turn this way. And by the time the morning comes, you wonder how come you have not lost 30 pounds. But have you ever slept the wrong way and there's a crick in the neck? I mean, you get up and it's absolutely 100% sore. You know, and it even affects the way you drive. I mean, that's how come, you know, you're supposed to use the mirrors, and that day you thank God for mirrors because you can't turn around. And the kids are misbehaving, and on that day they misbehave more because they know daddy's not turning around. But you think about this. Here's a person that has a solid neck. Here's a person that has a neck that's hard. What is that? That's a purpose. That's a drive. That's an intent. They don't care what the preacher says, and they don't care what mom and daddy says, and they don't care what the Sunday school teacher says, and they don't care what the man of God says, or the other person that's somebody that is a sibling that's got a good test. They don't care. Why? Because there's that stiff neck. Oh, watch it. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 30. The Bible says, listen to it. They would not, it says, they would none, it says, of my counsel. They despise, the Bible says, all my reproof. So they're not receiving none of the counsel. You know, I counsel people. You know, and I found out, being the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church, you wear several shirts. I wear the shirt of the preacher when I get up and I preach. And by the way, when I get done, man, I sweat and I stink. But I wear the shirt of the preacher. Then I wear the shirt of the counselor. And sometimes the shirt of the counselor becomes the shirt of the referee. I mean, there's all different types of shirts. I get to wear the janitorial shirt some. And I get to go around and clean up some things. And sometimes I'll sneak up here when the staff is not around just to maybe do a couple little things and stuff like that. And so I get to wear different shirts. Now, wait a minute. I enjoy the shirts that I wear. But may I tell you, wearing the shirt of the counselor, you can tell who's receiving your counsel well. I've had people come to my office and I begin to tell them something and they roll their eyeballs and I think, dear Lord, please don't let them get caught in the situation that they're now presently in. I've had young people come to my office, you won't believe this, but I've had some young people come to my office and they try to cross their eyeballs. And I'm thinking, that's a way to look and see oneness in life or double. But wait, here's what we see tonight. The Bible says they won't listen to counsel. The Bible says they despise all my reproof. Do you understand that your parents is on your side tonight? Do you understand when your parents say, hey, don't do that? You understand they've already been there, maybe done that, maybe got the t-shirt themselves, and they see the detriment of it, and so they sound the warning, don't do it. Do you understand when your dad stands up and says, hey, we need to be faithful to church. Don't mouth off to your daddy. Don't go to your daddy and say, but you don't understand. I don't want to be faithful to church. I want to play my little games. Listen, you can play your little games on your own time when you reach 45. But while you're in daddy's house, go to church. Enjoy church. Get alive in church. Praise God in church. Love preaching. Do what you're supposed to do. Rise up and serve. Oh, listen to it tonight. How can you tell if somebody has a hard neck? They don't receive correction. They don't receive counsel. They don't listen to commands. Listen to it. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 14, the Bible says, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like the neck of their fathers, listen to it, that did not believe the Lord their God. And so they don't receive any commands. They're saying, no, I don't want these commands. Oh, listen to it. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 16, the Bible says, and they of their fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hardened not, it says, and hearken not unto thy commandments. And so a dad says, hey, do this. And the child doesn't want to do it. You can see it on the face. You can see the heart coming out. Then they get persuaded that their way is the right way. And mom and dad says, do this. And they're determined they're not going to obey mom and dad. That is a hard neck.
Amen.
And God says that'll be destroyed without remedy. Oh, listen to it tonight. That hard neck will lead to a hard life. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. So when a person has, listen, a hard heart, and then it becomes revealed on the face, the hard face, if they keep that hard face, and by the way, a hard face is a whole lot easier to correct than that which is a hard path, a hard neck. So if a person can easily, and by the way, anybody can change their life just like that. Did you know that? Did you know by God's grace, God can use anybody? Amen. Did you know that God's mercy is sufficient? So if a person says, well, I did this wrong and I just don't think God can use me again. You don't understand my God. My God is a forgiving God. My God is a restoring God. My God is a God of hope. My God is a God of help. My God is a God that will walk beside you. My God is a God that will restore you. My God is a God that says, I love you. I want you back. All you've got to do is just say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to have a hard heart again. I'm going to step up. I'm going to obey God. You know, just because a person has a hard face doesn't mean they can't change it immediately. But if they allow that hard face to continue, that hard face now turns into a direction. Now it becomes a hard neck. Then it becomes a hard life. And I cannot begin to tell you how many people I've talked to over the years, and they say, well, I remember when I used to serve God as a youth. I remember when I was a child, I used to go to church. I remember when I was a teenager, I sat on the front row and I wore the tie and I did what, but inside my heart, there was something that was hard, something that wasn't right, and I never yielded. I never obeyed. And yes, the Holy Ghost of God was knocking, and he just kept knocking, and he just kept knocking. But I determined when I got out of high school, that was it. Oh, listen to it. A hard heart would turn to a hard face, a hard face, a hard neck, and a hard neck to a hard life. But there's a difference between a rock and a candle. Let me give it to you tonight and I'm done. A candle is easily lit. Brother Boakley, come up here if you will. Light this thing. A candle is, I said, it's easily lit. A candle is easily lit. And by the way, you listen to me. When a candle is lit, everything around it begins to melt. When a candle is lit, everything around it begins to soften. When a candle is lit, it brings that which is light into a dark room. When a candle is lit, it brings that which is light into a dark life. When a candle's lit on the street someplace, you can see it for a couple blocks away. When a candle's lit in a public school, they see you walking down the hallway because after all, you're a little bit different than all the other kids. When a candle is lit and you're walking down the hallway, hey, they can tell your heart's not hard because your candle's been lit and your heart is soft and you're not talking about breaking the rules and you're not talking about defying that which is the family culture. You're not talking about standing up against, but rather your heart is soft towards your parents and your heart is soft towards the preaching. And what I'm saying, it would be far better tonight not to have a heart that is hard like a rock, but it would be better to have a bright burning candle for Jesus Christ. Let me give you some attributes tonight about the candle. The candle is easily lit. Easily lit. You know, somebody has a soft heart, you can easily get them excited about the things of God. You know, somebody has a soft heart, they love good preaching. You know, somebody has a soft heart, you can preach as hard as you want to, and they're going to sit there and they're going to lap it up. You know, somebody has a soft heart, they can't wait for you to come and step on their toes. Matter of fact, they'll put them there and say, do it again. Amen. They like it. You can't get too truthful to them. You can't get too hard for them. You can't get too straight-faced for them. You know why? Because a candle that's lit helps them to see more than what they saw before when they had the hard heart. Because that hard heart compared to that soft candle does nothing. All it does is hurt people. I could take it. I could throw it at Brother Allen. He could try and catch it. But I got news for you. It's sharp all around. It's going to hurt no matter how hard I throw it. No matter how he tries to catch it. I could go over here and say, Brother Allen, I'll tell you what. I don't like what's happening in your life. And so I take my hard heart. I begin to talk bad about him. I begin to criticize him. I take my hard heart. I step all over him. I hit him in the head. And by the way, by the time I get done, he is damaged. See, a hard heart does nothing but cause problems. But you can always see the lit candle. You can see it coming. That lit candle, when it's lit, listen to it. The Bible says, my heart is hot within me. It says, while I was musing, the fire burned. And so as a person has a lit candle for God, listen to me, and the preaching stays where it ought to stay, then God begins to work inside the heart and it burns. I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but if you've ever camped out and it gets cold outside, laying close to a rock is just not a good thing. I was camping in Louisiana, and when my boys were younger, we went camping, and I remember Pastor Clint Johnson, pastor of the Gonzales Baptist Temple in Gonzales, Louisiana, said, you want to take the boys camping? I said, yes. He said, well, if you'll stay over after the conference, we'll go camping. And so we got in his Jeep, and we went out Louisiana way, and we took the tents, and we were just going to live off the land for a couple of days, and it was going to be good. Man, we got out there, and there was no restrooms. And all of a sudden, you wonder how good is. But we got out there, and we had our rifles, and here comes a little doe, a little fawn, if you would. And she's running down the stream, and Jared came up to me, and Jared said, shoot it, Daddy, shoot it. Brother Johnson said, oh, no, it's Bambi. And Jared said, no, nonsense, Bambi's been dead for years, pulled a trigger. But there was just something about spending the night out there, and it was cold. And it was damp, and at night it dropped way down. And I did not know, because I've not been camping some time, and I guess I forgot that you can buy different degrees of that which was sleeping bags. You can buy them for coldness, and you can buy them for hotness. I had my one for hotness. And it was a cold night, and Brother Johnson looked at me, and he says, now, if any of you sissy boys need me to turn on the heat at night, I will. But real men don't use heat. I got in my sleeping bag that the temperature was probably geared for about 75. It went down that night into the teens, and I was cold. But every time I started to say, hey, preacher, turn on the heat, something started to climb up the back of my spine that said, sissy boy, sissy boy. And so that night I laid in my 72 or 75 temperature type of sleeping bag, and I froze to death. The next morning I woke up, and the heat was on beside his bed. And I looked at my preacher friend and I said, what about that statement that you made that only sissy boys use heat? He said, oh, I wasn't talking about me. But there's something about laying next to the heat that causes you to be warm. That's what, come on. That's why when Brother Dowdy, Brother Moore, some of these other men, they stand up and they preach to your teenagers. Listen, don't get mad at them when they preach. I said when I was teaching on child rearing tonight, it would be far better to have a preacher that was hotter than you than colder than you. Because if you have a preacher that's hotter than you, it gives your family room to grow. But if you don't have a preacher that's hot, okay, all right. So you have a preacher. Oh, he's got standards, and the standards are much higher than I am. You're better off being in a church where the standards are higher and hotter than being in a church that has less. Why? Because there's no room to grow. You take and you get in a church, you get plugged in where the man of God walks with God, has his power on his life, preaches a house of fire. Why? Because there's where you can grow. You ought to want to grow more to the right than to the center or to the left. Oh, listen to it tonight. You know, there's a bunch of liberal churches out there anybody could go to. Matter of fact, the devil would feel quite comfortable. But I'm saying tonight, be in a place where that candle is easily lit so everybody can see it. Be in a place when the candle's on fire that what it does, listen to this, it melts everything around it. Come on. Boy, I've been around some Holy Ghost preachers before, and I'll tell you what, they got the power of God all over them. And man, when they preach, everything melts. Now, by the way, that's the way we all should be. When you get around, come on. Listen to it tonight. You'll see tonight that there's that soaking when that light is shining, and then there's that sharing. Here's what it says, Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. The Bible says, we cannot but speak. It says, the things which we have seen and heard. Hey, somebody's going to see the hard heart. They're going to hear it. Is that the testimony we want? No, but somebody's going to see the candle, and it's lit, and it's burning, and the heart is tender, and the heart stays pliable, and the parents say, listen, you hurt me, you hurt God, and there's repentance there. Why? Because there's that tender heart, there's that heart that's right with God, easily lit. Let me give you three ways we easily light it. Statement number one, and I'm done. It's easily lit by the Bible. When you read the Bible, God easily lights your fire. When you get down, you get poochy lip disease, your bottom lip is sagging between your two big toes, and you're falling everywhere you walk. When you start getting in the Bible, God's word will melt your heart. Not only does the Bible light your fire, but it's easily lit by godly preaching. Preaching sets the, oh, listen to it. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 6, the Bible says, and they have made ready their heart like an oven. Now, why was that? Why was their hearts like an oven? Because of the preaching. Listen to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, keep thy foot. It says, when thou goest down to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. They prepared the heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5, the Bible says, it is better to hear rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And so what do? We decide that we're going to keep that heart pliable. What does it do? I'll tell you what it does tonight. It will keep you in the right place. It'll keep your heart tender. It'll keep other people going the right direction. Look, you know one thing about our soul winning on Saturday morning? You know when we have a great crowd on Saturday morning that numbers, now don't get me wrong when I say this, but always motivate more numbers. Did you know people like to go to a place where something's happening? You know why I'm excited about the Sunday school classes growing? I'm going to tell you why I'm excited about it. Because when a Sunday school class is growing, everybody likes to get in on something that's happening. Come on, nobody likes to go into deadness. Nobody amen. Well, you're not going to amen me. I'll amen me. But nobody likes deadness. Man, when you... Come on, man, years ago, you go to a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church, they'd be shouting all over the place. You know why? Because you knew what you were hearing was true. Now, I'm telling you tonight, what you're hearing is true. And we've got to decide tonight, hey, we're going to tell our young people to keep that hard heart away from them. It doesn't need to be in the light. We've got to keep it as far away as we possibly can and say, let's not go there. But here's what you need. You need a bright light. You need a soft light. You need that light that's going to be elevated. And there's no better way to do it than to elevate your light yourself. Did you know, you can't expect your young people to rise any higher than you are. Well, son, you need to go soul winning. Well, Papa, what about you? Would you know, son, you don't need to listen to that music. Daddy says, well, you don't need to listen to that music. And here he's got that country music and he's playing down on the farm the whole time. Well, you're getting quiet on me now. You cannot expect your children to rise any higher than you are. All right, so go ahead. Go ahead and walk through life and say, well, I'm going to be the average Christian. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to look like a wooden Indian. I'm going to sit there when that preacher preaches and I'm blessing God because I'm present. I mean, you know, God has allowed me to come and my children are going to see that I am present. But, you know, it would do a whole lot more for your children if at least you smiled. It'd do a whole lot more for your children if you got excited about something that's spiritual. Man, we go to a ball game and a guy takes a basketball, he bounces it down the court, he does a layup and the whole crowd comes alive. Why not do that in the house of God? Wait a minute, watch this. Here's what we see. That light that's lit, it causes others to want their light lit. Look, I wasn't stupid as a young buck, mom and dad, situation where I was the dad and Mrs. Wells, that beautiful mama. We weren't stupid with our kids. There'd be people that was hot preachers. We'd travel for miles, hours. You know why? I wanted them to be under the spout where the blessing came out. I wanted, because I knew those fellas was saying something that I was trying to get my children to see, but they were going to say it to reemphasize what I was trying to teach in the home. And I never was afraid of somebody that was more hot than I was. Well, I'm not going to take my kids to hear so-and-so preach because after all, I'm a preacher and he preaches hotter than I do. Well, good. You know what that's going to do? That's going to cause you to raise your temperature. Amen. Don't be afraid of somebody. Well, you know, I don't want my preachers to be, my boys. I don't want my boys to be around so-and-so because their kids are real godly. And if I get my kids around their kids that are real godly, then my kids might make me feel bad by my lifestyle. That's exactly what you need is pressure. You know that. You know what that does? That candle that your kids are around, oh yeah, they come in the house. Look, I would far rather my kid be more spiritual than less. Oh, come on. You want to have fun? You want to? Closing illustration. You want to help me have fun a little bit? Want to? All right, come on. Follow me. Come on. You do what I do. You ready? You do everything I do. You ready? We're going to have fun. You want to have fun? You sure? You ready for it? Okay. Hey, the Bible says you must be born again. I'm telling you, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to sit back there. You're not supposed to be somebody that just melts in the seat. You let God speak to your heart. Go ahead. By the way, wouldn't you rather have something like that and somebody sucking on dope? Yeah. Hey, wouldn't you rather have somebody like that and chasing loose skirts around the neighborhood? When you rather have somebody that's hot for souls, on fire for God, what am I saying tonight? You light the candle. You decide you're not going to back up. You be the parent you ought to be. You be the grandparent you ought to be. You decide you're going to raise a generation that's going to go out and be some giant killers. I'm saying tonight, it's important to light the candle. If you don't keep that candle lit and it goes out, then as a parent, you have a responsibility tonight to light it again and to protect it and to make sure it stays lit.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.